Hello, and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Michael Henry.
And me, Lucy Smith.
This week, we'll be discussing happiness.
Happiness.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this a while back that I was tempted to recommend a film called Happiness, which is like one of the darkest comedies and one of the like darkest looks at the more perverse side of things that make people happy. But I realised I just don't feel like I can put you through it. It's really, really dark.
So, I vaguely remember that recommendation.
Yeah. So yeah. You should be grateful that although it was a bit of a violent, not traumatic, but tough experience, the film I picked, at least I didn't pick a film that would make you miserable.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, we'll get to your pick later, but
yes.
Yeah, I've realised, I was saying, like, we're nearing the end of the podcast, but I've realised more about what my genre is.
And you mean like your favourites and what you don't like?
Yeah. I think my pick this week, which is Good Vibrations, and I can't get the song out of my head.
I don't think the song features in the film, does it?
No. And what is it, Beach Boys? They're nothing to do with the music that's going on in the film, but...
It was just the name of the store, right?
Yes. Good Vibrations. And I think the thing about my pick is that, I mean, it's not completely about happiness, but I was thinking about that. I think you definitely need, like, a film that's just about happiness would be quite boring. You need the contrast in there, just like with life. You need the shit stuff so you can appreciate the happy stuff. But yeah, the main reason I picked my film is because it leaves me feeling like, I want to jump up and do stuff. And I don't even know if that's happiness, but like, that's the main thing I was thinking this week. What is happiness? Is it contentment or is it having purpose? Anyway, I'll get to the synopsis, therefore. Good Vibrations is set in Belfast in the 70s during the Troubles. And it basically covers this guy who wants to open up a record shop in the middle of the most bombed street in Belfast. And yeah, he accidentally sort of falls into the punk scene there. And just the sort of revolution that's going on, freedom, anarchy, whatever, but in a kind of joyful way. And there's some scenes in this film where I just can't stop the grin on my face, like when he first sees a punk band or a song that he's recorded is first played on the radio and things like that. It's just, yeah, it's a joyful thing. But unfortunately, the music business means that he's made some stupid decisions as well. It means that his life sort of falls apart and his wife and stuff. Yeah, I won't give too much away. But yeah, anyway, things go shit. And things already are shit because it's the Troubles and there's horror and terror everywhere. But punk is this one little like spark of purpose for him. And I think that's the happiness in it. And that's what gives me the feeling of being so alive and elated.
Yeah, there's joy in the discovery of music and also joy in him deciding this is what I'm going to do and this is my place. His purpose being like the record store and it's a label as well, right? That he...
Yeah, the Good Vibrations label. Yeah. And this is a true story too. Terry Hooley, I think, is still alive and kicking in Belfast. And I'm not sure if the Good Vibrations store is still open, but...
It's not. I looked it up. It's quite sad.
Yeah, I lived there for 3 years. And in two of those years, I'm pretty sure it was open and I just didn't find it. I don't know why. Stupid fresher.
Did you see this... Sorry, did you see this before you went to Belfast?
Yeah, so it came out 2 years before that. And me and my dad went to the cinema twice. We just went back again.
Did it inspire you to go to Belfast?
It did. And people go, why the hell did it do that? Because it's about the Troubles.
No, I get it. I get it too. Like, I've not been to Belfast yet, but watching this, despite all the Troubles, watching this made me really want to visit.
Yeah, it's...
So I do get
it's
it.
It's people's attitudes despite the Troubles. You know, they're...
Yeah.
And I go in there, I found the same. I think I said in our first ever episode about Belfast, like, it's a cheeky sort of... stoic and at the bottom of it, like, optimistic mindset, I think. There are a lot of people I met anyway.
I was going to ask, do you relate to his character in this at all?
I don't, in reality, as like compared to who I am, not particularly, but I think we watch it and we all want his optimism and his balls, like the way he stands up to the police, the way he just decides to form a band and drive him round like Northern Ireland, which is in the midst of this civil war. Like, yeah, he just goes for it. And I think we can all see, like what what his partner sees in him as well. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You can see why she stays with him even though he's a nightmare, because he's kind of reckless.
Yeah, that's where most of the drama comes from too, I would say. It's just the fact that, I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, like how much she puts up with.
Yeah.
But it's because it's a passion. It's not like a destructive, well, it is kind of, but it's not a destructive whim. It's like, no, I'm passionate about this. And I think
he's trying to fix it.
Yeah, there's something to that. Yeah, he's trying to do something good.
Yeah. Yeah, as I was saying before, I think it made me think, what is happiness? Because they're not content in this film. There's a lot on the edge. Like, he puts his house up for the collateral for his business and stuff. You know, like, they're literally on the edge of it all. But I was actually thinking back, it was our old age episode, and it was like Miyazaki, who did the Studio Ghibli films. The doc about him says that he doesn't think we should be striving for happiness. And in that, I think he means like contentment and security. I think, yeah, maybe the good thing is finding purpose, making connections, and like searching for that feeling that makes you want to jump up and do something.
Yeah, I guess it's the difference between being content and happy. And I think maybe what Miyazaki meant was happiness as like an excited, heightened feeling. Whereas to be content is a lot more calm and
maybe,
I don't want to say nuanced, but
yeah, actually that tips my thought on its head, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't know. What do you think happiness is?
Give me an easier question. I think it's the same with when someone says, "What's the meaning of life?" I think it's completely different for every single person. I think you have to create your own meaning, and therefore you have to find your own happiness, or find the things that you're passionate about and what you know, what makes you feel good. And there's downsides to that, because some people find heroin and go, this makes me feel good, but there's you know, that's an extreme example. But I think I relate to his character very much. Like, I really like this film, and I it's underrated. I'm glad you mentioned it, and I want more people to watch it. But I really relate to his character in that this ties in with my pick, the idea of a gamble and taking risks to attain, not attain, but to strive for something, and being passionate about something and going, I'm going to, you know, put his house up and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I'm spending £10,000 of my own money on this next film, probably even more actually. And I know it won't make back the money, but it's like, well, no, I have like a need or a compulsion to make things and to get this film made. And yeah, I don't know, I personally find happiness within making things. And
yeah, I was going to ask, what's an idea comes to you, your idea of happiness, when an idea
comes? That's the only way I can answer your question, because I don't think there's an answer like universally. Yeah, so for me it is when I'm inspired, when I'm in the flow of creating things, and when, you know, I like the idea of working towards something. Like, once the thing's made, I'm kind of miserable afterwards. I feel quite empty. But the actual striving for, you know, the pursuit of happiness is kind of the happy bit, if that makes sense.
Is there a difference? Like,
to be on a trip.
Yeah. Is there a difference then between long-term and short-term happiness?
I don't think I believe in long-term happiness. That sounds really miserable. But I mean, you know, everything moves in life, everything moves in cycles. Like, if you're happy all the time, you're probably deluded. Did you not think?
I guess I mean, like, overall life happiness rather than long-term happiness, as in you never feel anything else. I don't know. Sometimes I do think to myself, like, there's something in The Sims, like, you know, those bars where it's like environment and hunger and stuff. And if you fill those up, I don't know, I would call that long-term, I don't know, health. Maybe, yeah. It's all perspective, isn't it? Some people are just happy that they're alive and they got a mum and a dad.
I don't know. The whole saying of ignorance is bliss, I think, is a big thing as well. That the people who appear genuinely content and happy for long periods of times that I've seen tend to not engage in a lot of what goes on in the world, or they kind of bury their head in the sand.
I guess there's nothing wrong with that, really. Like, if you live in a tiny village, middle of nowhere, you're probably pretty damn content.
Yeah, I'm torn. I don't know. I'm slightly biased, I think, because I think I would rather be informed and aware of bad things that go on in the world rather than just go, oh, everything's, Brexit went really well. Everything's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn this into a political thing, but I do think there is a willful ignorance on the part of most people, and that seems to be why they find a way to be happy or content.
Yeah, I guess that's what I do. I don't really look at the news, and I'm much happier.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say you're someone who's ignorant, though. I think, yeah, you find a balance of, like, you'll talk about when things go on in the news, but I don't think you're willfully ignoring or burying your head in the sand or disengaged with the world. Like, I'd say you're someone who's engaged with the world.
I guess I'm trying to let go of what I can't control when I do that. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
By not looking at stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like this idea of, like, leaps of hope, like you saying, like, just go for it, just make your film. And that's the happiness side of things. Like, I think,
yeah. Well, yeah, like specifically being in production and actually filming is when I'm the happiest, even when it's going wrong. I mean, there's probably some bad days. Same with travel too. Like, when you're just being present, like being present in something that you actually want to do. Mm. I don't think there's a better feeling. And, you know, there's a lot of, I'm in the middle of pre-production for when the film starts, and it's, you're kind of setting yourself up for something you know you're going to enjoy. And that's why I don't mind spending money on it, because it's like people spend money on cars and you know, snacks and stuff that don't actually make themselves feel better. And they have diminishing returns financially because of it. Whereas I'm buying an experience as I would with travel. Like, I don't get to carry my travel around with me as a thing. It's just an experience and memories. So
yeah, I like that idea, yeah. Buy an experience. Yeah, I think it's sort of why my film was a good pick for this week as well, is because it all sort of links a bit to punk as well, because punk music was all about just getting up there, even if you're not talented or crap, and just having a go, and just, yeah, the connection you find with other people in that live
They were quite anti-material too, and I think a lot of people buy into the idea of the perfect house, the perfect marriage and all this stuff. Like, the attainment for most people is the checklist of life. You know, you've graduated something, you've got a job, then you find a partner, then you find a house, maybe you get a pet, and then you procreate, and then everything is fine. I think most people see it as like a tick box thing, and punk in particular is very much like, it's all bullshit. Do you not see that attaining things that are material don't actually give you lasting happiness? You'll get like a quick dopamine rush maybe, and then you have to go on to the next thing. Whereas the people I know who have, I don't know if it's entirely true for everyone, but the people I know who go after what they really want and don't just subscribe to the things they're supposed to be doing are the ones who, well, they're the ones I'm most inspired by, and they're the ones who I find most passionate and want to be around, rather than people who just kind of give in to life, as miserable as that sounds.
I would agree, but I'm not sure that that's happiness. But I'm also thinking maybe happiness is a side effect, not something to aim for. Because actually it can come and go whenever in life. Sometimes I'm surprised that my brain is making me happy when I'm in a really shit situation. Or sometimes when I'm in a great one, my brain's making me sad. And I'm like, yeah, you can't control it.
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's, I think, and giving into it too, like you've said before, like you kind of just, when you can accept the situation, it kind of, you get a sense of relief and then the happiness from it. Like, it's a weird example, but today I had to do, I'm not going to tell the whole story, it's really boring, but I had to do something tax related where I had to pay some money, all this stuff. And I'd been putting it off and I was dreading it. And then once I got it done, I was like, oh, I feel good now. Like, I'm not worried about anything.
I know that. Yeah.
I thought I was worried about planning for the film and COVID and the whole world situation. And I was like, no, it's just this one thing. And then I hadn't planned to feel good afterwards. I just felt good afterwards.
Yeah.
I think happiness is the thing that most people think we should strive for generally. But I think it's because as a society, we're kind of sort of programmed to be pleasure seeking. And that's why we do stupid stuff. Like, everyone knows that, you know, if you party maybe once or twice, it can be fun. If you do it like hundreds of times, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And to be like the sober one at a party, for instance, you realise how miserable everyone is. It's a weird, like, you're in an alternate dimension just watching these people.
That's how I felt in Vegas when I went.
Have you been to Vegas? Yeah. Okay, that might be a good tie-in to my pick.
Yeah.
I think Vegas is the kind, that's one reason why I wanted to pick it, is Vegas is the embodiment of just excess and decadence and the extremes of the kind of American ideal, American dream even, but it's not a happy place. It's a very miserable place, probably more miserable than LA. You know, so many squashed dreams, so much failure, so much like addiction and all this stuff.
It's because it's this like mecca to go to. And that's what we were saying, basically. If you expect happiness, it might not happen. And Vegas is just the place where I've heard people, I was sat at like these gambling tables. I didn't do much gambling, but people I was there with kind of made me a bit. But yeah, I'd sit next to these like rednecks in huge cowboy hats and stuff, and they were losing money. But they had this smile plastered on, and they kept reminding each other, "You're in Vegas, man. It's fine. You're having fun." Like they're yeah. saying the words, but their face didn't say it. It's like, oh god, yeah. it's depressing.
They're buying into the tagline, "Vegas, baby, Vegas."
Yeah, and it's actually like that, and it's everything's fake, and there's, you know, like.
Well, yeah, fake pyramids, fake. It's just it's the most fake place on the planet. Probably.
Yeah, there's
maybe not Disneyland or something too, but
it is. But it prides yeah. itself on that almost. And it, when you
it's
lose,
such a weird...
you're meant to be happy there. It's such yeah, a weird place.
It's such a weird... It's like a nightmare. Someone's created a nightmare town on the premise that it's where your dreams will come true.
Yeah. All a big sticking plaster for your troubles. And I guess once you leave Vegas, your troubles are still there, plus your debt. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is true of like people trying to seek out happiness in various forms anyway, especially when it's like a material form.
I guess there's a danger, though, of also having been there, I should probably say, there's a danger of, like, masking it all, and this is what everyone says about Vegas. There were some people there, may be a bit off their heads, but they seemed genuinely happy, and they had lived there for a long time. And...
Well, that's another thing, too, is, like, Vegas is kind of has this subculture of being, like, a huge party place, too, like, a lot of chemicals up people's noses and a lot of... you know, basically drug parties, and it's this, it's decadence and excess to the extreme.
Yeah.
Which I think might be a good way into to my pick for the week.
Yeah. I guess my point was that, just sorry, I was just going to say my point, this is what I looked at, but some people might have a bit more of a more complex argument as to why they might be happy there, because I can only judge on what I like, but yeah, there might actually be happy people. Sorry, go on.
I don't think there's that many, but still. Yeah, so it's a good way to lead into my pick, because gambling and the idea of taking a gamble on a person, taking a gamble on your life, trust, all this kind of thing, these things are deep themes ingrained in the film that I've picked this week, which is Casino. I'll be completely upfront and say that one of the reasons that I've picked this is purely because I don't feel like I could do a podcast on film and not mention Martin Scorsese and his films. That's one reason why I picked his, but I think specifically this one, All of his characters and all of the motivations for the majority of his characters. Like, think of Wolf of Wall Street. That is not a happy character. Deep down, he's broken, but he appears happy most of the time because he's just out of his mind on opiates and coke and everything. So for those who don't know, Casino is about Sam Ace Rothstein, played by Rob De Niro, who runs a mob-owned Tangiers casino in Vegas. And... yeah, he falls in love with a woman who is money obsessed, and she's a bit erratic, and so he's taking a gamble on her. And added to the mix is his best friend from back home, played by Joe Pesci, who is one of the most violent characters in a film ever, completely off his nut. Mm. And yeah, you're not really sure what their plan is, but for me, I think it's a great film because it basically chronicles like a few decades in the US, in the most decadent city, in the most American of cities. And you just, for me, the one reason I wanted to bring this up was because in some ways it shows the antithesis of happiness, that although you can have the drive and constant pursuit of money and taking these gambles and all these things, eventually all the monuments to capitalism there get taken down. Like, the ending of it is intercut between them demolishing some casinos. So it was almost like these people weren't there in the first place. And I'm going to carry on this rant because I think it's relevant, that I think the reason that people seek pleasure and seek happiness is kind of a denial of death and a denial of knowing that you won't always be there. And I think taking a gamble makes you feel alive. And I think there's something within like happiness tied to the opposite, which is obviously sadness and feeling temporary and your ego taking over.
I think that makes perfect sense. I was just picturing, as you said it, like this water balloon on one end, sadness on one end, happiness, and like squeeze the happiness side and the sadness thing pops. Yeah, and I don't know, I was thinking the laws are really relaxed in Vegas, right? And so that's like freedom.
Yeah.
Whereas, and punks as well, that's a sort of freedom. And it's a sort of way of, like, yeah, slapping on happiness that looks a bit different, but it's a way to just get out of the sadness, maybe.
Yeah, and it's quite an ugly film. Like, not ugly visually. Like, I think it's probably his best technical film, and it's beautifully shot and everything. But I think there's an ugliness to not only this film, but like you mentioned, you messaged me afterwards, like, God, I found it hard to like anyone in it because they're all screwing each other over and they're quite just nasty, basically.
Yeah, there's definitely a coldness in there. And yeah, I just can't quite... I need a bit of hope and a bit of warmth in characters. Like, for example, when he fell in love with her, it's pretty damn clear from the start, like, this isn't going to work because he's basically forcing it. And
yeah. I don't know if cold's a word I would use for any Scorsese film, or maybe like Bringing Out the Dead. But for me, yeah, that moment where they fall in love, and there's a lot of humour with like his managers and other people in the hotel, and his friend before it goes sour. And but that's what I like about his films, and particularly this film, is he doesn't allow the audience, you know, he does the opposite of what Hollywood expects, which is he doesn't make likable characters, and yet you're there for the whole journey and you're seeing from their perspective, and they're anti-heroes, they're layered and damaged and imperfect. And I'm not saying that your film pick does this, by the way, but I hate watching films where a character has everything figured out and they're just a good person, for instance. Like, it's impossible. I do agree that, you know, he pushes it as far as he can, because they are quite ugly characters in their actions, and they do screw each other over and stuff like this. But it always seems to be in the pursuit, tying it in with the episode, in the pursuit of something more and something definitely ego-driven. Like, all of his characters have this greed and this kind of relentless drive for something that they probably won't get. And that's where it kind of, this is that you did ask, like, why did I pick this film? I'm like, well, I kind of feel that too, that there's a great line in The Wire where someone says, or he tells one of the main characters, the work won't save you. Like, you know, deep down that the thing you're pursuing isn't going to fill the void of whatever's missing. And especially for him, you know, it's a gamble, and you talk about Vegas, and people take this gamble to fill whatever they're missing in their life, and they get it occasionally, but then it falls through their hands again.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, like, I would say I am somewhat of a workaholic when it comes to the films, and I know it won't like save me and it won't create pure happiness, and, you know, there's no like end goal where you're rich and you're famous and everything's perfect, all this kind of stuff. But I do see the appeal of going for grand things like they do in this and living a big life, even though you know realistically deep down that when you reach old age it doesn't amount to much. Like, you do just end up in the same place as most people do.
Small things, I think the small details are what makes the happiness rather than what's on paper.
Yeah. And yet we all buy into this thing. I think we all buy into the idea of,
yeah,
like a big dream and a big, oh, this would be perfect if I got paid this amount to make things I want and this amount of recognition and all these things, which they don't last, though. That's the thing, like, everything's impermanent.
Yeah, although I guess it affects people's social happiness if you're, well, the world's full of dicks, so like if you have a job which is looked down upon and you care about that stuff, you're not going to be happy till you have a job which
is, you know, it's status and money and all those things. Like, that's the thing, like, all of his films, none of his characters, actually that's not true, like, he's done a few more spiritual films, but most of his well-known characters are people who don't work on themselves. There's no like self-improvement in a Scorsese film. It's completely self-destruction.
I think, yeah, there's something in that lack of awareness that is what I was missing and makes me say the word cold. Because like in my film, you've got, he's striving for big things and he definitely hurts people along the way. But there's like that nugget of, like, he's very honest with his feelings and he does care about others in a quite a simple way. Whereas it's always complicated in Casino, how even how he cares for his wife, it's mixed in with all these benefits for him. And I just, I think I want that sort of nugget of living honestly in at least one of the characters. That's what I'd hold on to in other films.
And I would say, like, Terry, what's his surname again?
Hooley.
He's like an aspirational character. Whereas I think most people watch Casino and be like, yeah, I didn't end very well for everyone, did it?
Yeah.
Especially like Joe Pesci, which is, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a big tragedy. And sometimes yeah. I'm in the mood for that. Most times not. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what he does so well as well is that his films are quite operatic and they're about America. Like, none of his films glamorize the American dream. I mean, even if you watch Wolf of Wall Street, that's probably one of the few ways that he lets the characters get away, because that's the point. It's like they have got away with stealing this money and they do still live rich lifestyles, but it's an empty lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, he turns the camera around on the audience at the end and basically says, is this what you want?
Yeah. You know what? I found it interesting with both our picks that they were narrated. So Terry Hooley's narrating his own life. Yeah. And in yours, it's, yeah, narrated by the main guy too. And
well, I guess they're two characters telling themselves
yeah.
their own story and kind of convincing themselves that it's the right thing to do.
That's what I thought, yeah. I think a lot of happiness is how we view our own story. And probably if we let it be viewed as a story by the rest of the world or by someone else, it's probably not going to do much.
Yeah. One thing I wanted, because we're reaching the end now, I was going to ask you, when was the last time you were really happy?
Last night.
Okay. any reason? Or do you not want to share on?
I can share it. I was watching... Oh, God. Yeah, I was watching Dawson's Creek. And there's a bit that just reminded me of... Oh, fucking hell. Reminded me of love and reminded me how lucky you can feel to feel that. And I currently feel that. And therefore, I didn't... When I'm happy crying, I know that's a big, like, chest-bursting feeling. And I was just, yeah. looking at the river, happy crying. I was very happy.
Happy cry is the best.
Yeah. When's the last time you happy cried?
too long for me to think of an example, but that's not to suggest I haven't been happy, but
okay.
It's weird. Like, I wrote that question to ask you a few days ago, and I was trying to rack my brains, like, when was the last time I had, like, a prolonged period of, like, being really happy? And then I ended up going for a walk with one of the actors from Mother Sky, and it happened yesterday. Like, just being really engaged in a long, deep conversation about loads of things, but also being engaged and seeing how it's improving the thing we're working towards. And it's just the whole production thing again. It's like being in production, being in the moment of being inspired and creative and making something.
Mm.
I'm never happier than that. The rest of life's just chaos and it's a mess. But I know I'm good when I'm working on something creative. That's something you can control, I guess.
Yeah, I think the things, you can't always control them forever, but the things that you can sort of pinpoint that are happening right now that are really good. Yeah, I think that's what I cling on to as well. So yeah, the final question that I wanted to ask was watching films in general, because that's been the theme of our podcast. We watch and then we talk about it. Does watching yes. films bring you happiness as well as making them?
Yeah, I wouldn't say like 10 times out of 10. There will be times where I want to say yes. Like, it depends what the film is. It depends where I'm at. I think okay. the problem is that life can kind of interrupt how you feel about what you're watching, and you can kind of disengage because of stuff that's going on in life.
Mm.
But generally speaking, yeah, I try and watch a film a day, and I feel like I'll learn something or remember something, or it'll bring up an emotion I didn't expect. And I'm not going to give this specific example because I'm going to talk about it in our final episode, but the film that you know I've picked for that, I rewatched that recently and I was overwhelmed by what it made me feel at the end, because it took me back to being 14 and watching it and deciding I'm going to make films. I didn't know you could do it like that. And damn. Yeah, it was a really emotional experience. That's probably a happy cry, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, it's difficult because there'll be times where you watch something and it's disappointing, so it doesn't make you happy, or
yeah.
it's kind of cliched. But generally speaking, yeah, I wouldn't keep watching them if I didn't enjoy them.
Yeah. That's something I've only done in recent years, turned it off if I'm not enjoying it. I feel like I used to think, oh, I don't know much about film, I'll just carry on and see if it gets better. But now I'm like, nope. It's
not yeah, doing I it. Don't waste time. Like, if I get 10 minutes in something that I think is poorly made or talking down to me, like saying stupid stuff to the audience, I'll just turn it off.
Yeah.
You want to enjoy it. And I'm not just saying entertainment, but you want to feel like someone's giving you a new experience that feels
yeah
unique and worthwhile.
again, you want a little slice of that feeling like you're living, which I think we decided is happiness today.
Definitely. And I think that they did a study that when you watch a film, you literally project your own memories and thoughts and feelings on the characters and the experience. There's this weird cycle between something goes into your brain, you project to the front of your brain what it means to you, which is why, you know, a deathbed scene in a film to someone who's experienced it almost specifically like in the film will have a stronger emotional response to someone who hasn't been in the room when someone died, for instance. That's a hell of a way to end it. Yeah, happiness is being grateful you aren't dead.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week, we discussed happiness. Tune in next week for our final episode. Thank you for listening.